January is when we recommit to the habits that support our health and well-being. And naturally, we start looking at what can support those goals, including supplements. But choosing the right supplements can be confusing, because not only are there so many brands out there, the supplement industry itself is a low-trust category. It's lightly regulated, products are easy to make, and companies don't even have to list everything on their label. Now, there's Momentous. They've become the high-trust brand in a low-trust category. They weren't satisfied with the industry standard, so they built the Momentous Standard, their commitment to doing things the right way, not the easy way. Momentous sources the highest quality ingredients on the planet. Their whey protein comes from grass-fed European dairy cows. Their creatine uses the purest form of creatine monohydrate, and every formula is made with clinically backed, highly bioavailable nutrients, with no fillers and no artificial sweeteners. Right now, Momentous is offering listeners up to 35% off your first order with promo code AudioBoom. Head to livemomentous.com and use promo code AudioBoom for up to 35% off your first order. That's livemomentous.com, promo code AudioBoom.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. The number to hang out with us here. Brian.
No.
Roger. Oh, Roger's here? We got Roger? Oh, wow. How cool. Maybe we're answering the phone, seeing if Roger's. We might have Roger Clemens, Brian. We might have to put you on hold here for just a second. And you know what? We can ask Roger about this, about the whole cheating thing and the Astros hate. And his thoughts on it. I mean, that's a former Astro. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what, a legend thinks about the way that the Astros are being treated right now. So there is that. Roger Clemens joining us here on ESPN 97.5, John Granato and Lance Zierlein. Roger, what's going on?
Morning, guys.
How are you, man?
Doing good. Getting some things done during our downtime, trying to keep things happening and rolling.
So, how is the experience? You and your son managing the team, what the rejuvenating? How is it with the young guys?
Yeah, I mean, these young men. It's been, you know, knock on wood. It's been so far so good. I think they got about 10 games under their belt, and the guys have another probably 20 to go. They'll play over at Constellation Field. I got probably another 20 to go through the month of August. And there's four teams and about 110 minor league guys. And so putting it together was not too difficult, because once they realized the league was going to go and start before Major League Baseball started, a lot of guys that got caught in the bubble and were not, you know, on the 40 or 50 man taxi squad, if you will, they needed a place to play. And I think you guys know, and most of your listeners that are aware of the game know, that if you're a minor league player, you can't sit, you know, 11, 12, 13 months without seeing live pitching. It would be just terrible for your development. So I tip my hat to the Zalotnik family. Bob and Kevin and all the guys over at Sugarland helped put this together. Got all the protocols in place, and right now, you know, again, knock on wood, the guys are doing well. They get tested every Sunday, and the guys from out of town are in a all together, like in a hotel, trying to stay in their own bubble there. And then there's a lot of local guys throughout the state that came in. And yeah, Kobe, my oldest, is managing Team Texas. Dave Island, you got Greg Swindell, and of course Pete Incaviglia, who was managing the Sugarland team. They all, I appreciate them putting their time into it. We've got a lot of assistant coaches that are there to help out, and I've been over several times, obviously at the games and early at the stadium, to try and help. You know, the number of pitchers that have, you know, whether an A ball all the way up to where they're in the major leagues last year. So it's been good for these young men. And I think we've already had about five guys plucked from us and taken back to the major league level. So especially with what's going on with the Florida Marlins, it seems like they may be opening up their squads again with another 10 or 15 players. So we'll see what happens.
Right. Fernando Rodney was the most famous. Who's older, you or Fernando Rodney?
That's a good one. I aged in dog years, guys. I mean, who knows how old I am? When you pitch as long as I did in New York and Boston, you age in dog years.
So how's the quality of baseball?
It's top notch. Like I said, there's guys, we've seen guys, most of the guys are sitting at 93, 94 as far as velocity goes. Of course,
wow.
I stress with them, don't be a thrower. You got to pitch. You got to know how to pitch. So when you don't have your plus fastball, you can still get guys out. But we've got three guys on our team that can touch 98 miles an hour.
Wow.
And so we're just encouraging them to, fill up the strike zone. And like I warned the guys when we were putting Team Texas together, you better be getting ready. This was back at the end of June when this league was coming together, that you better be getting ready because it's not a mom and pop weekend type deal. You're going to see some big arms. You're going to see some good bats in the lineup, and that's exactly what they've seen. So it's been great for them. I expect it to be great for them through August, and there's scouts out there, and they're really being cautious with the fans. There's some fans at the games, and so it's worked out so far so good.
Yeah, I'd go out to Skeeter's games, Roger, and it was, you might see someone hit 91. I mean, previously. Now you got some stallions, A-ball, double-A, just stallions who are out there. And I'm looking at this model, and I can't help but think, because I've followed some of the real sports articles about, or TV, reports and articles about minor league baseball, some of the struggles they had. And boy, this model sure seems like a model that makes a lot of sense. You got four teams in one area with really good talent. Do you see this as any – I do think you're going to see players want to come and join your league now and see that as a viable potential option to somehow get to the bigs this year. Do you see this as a sustainable potential model where you start having just kind of areas of the country where maybe four teams can exist and play each other and then potentially – move over and play, even after the pandemic is over, maybe making it more financially viable if they have a minor league system that maybe looks a little bit more like this to cut down on travel expenses and things like that?
Yeah, you're spot on. I mean, we could have probably had eight teams. We turned away so many really quality players, and that's what it was. It went kind of from an independent thing where guys might have been a little bit older. We've got guys that are 30, 32 years old. And, way back when, I don't know how many years it was ago, that I did a little somewhat of a favor for the Sugar Land guys where I threw 2 5-inning games to get some notoriety over there and help them make a little money. I got some national TV coverage on it. But Cashmere was over there working his way back. And, Scott got it going, and we had a great talk about, hey, you might not throw 94, 95 anymore. You might be at 92, but until you really get going, I mean, this is something that may help you. And he got it turned around, and obviously he's back in the major leagues. And you just try and keep these guys healthy. We have a pretty strict pitch count, and I warned everybody there when we talked in the outfield before this thing got it going on. Respect what we're doing. Understand that you have to stay in this little bubble so everybody stays safe and sound. All the COVID-19 protocols being in place, all that was super important. And then, like we told them, there's going to be guys, how fast Major League Baseball tried to get going. In spring training, the hitters are pretty much ready to go after 4 weeks. The pitchers, even though it's long, we need 6 weeks so we can stay away from these elbow and shoulder problems. And then your everyday guys that really, I don't want to say they didn't take it seriously, but they didn't get going. You're going to see those guys with the hamstrings and the backs and everything like that. So they're going to need these, that's why they're going to need the 40 to 55, 60 maybe on the roster where they dip down and get these guys. It's going to be interesting to see what the Marlins do. That's why they have all these extra players so they can continue on and they don't have to have a work stoppage once they got going.
Roger Clemens is with us here on ESPN 97.5. Constellation Field is where you can find him now for teams. You can go to SugarlandSkeeters.com. Tickets start as low as $9. They only let 2,000 people in, so get there. And it's all sanitized. They're keeping everything as safe as they possibly can. SugarlandSkeeters.com. Roger, what did you think of Joe Kelly's act the other night?
It was brutal. I mean, 3-0. You know, there's games you have to clean up. I remember a game. When I had my final comeback when the Yankees asked me to come back, Brian Cashman. Like I tell everybody about Brian, if Cash, somebody I really respected, I probably wouldn't have come out of retirement. But I think that was in 07, and there was a deal when I got all the way back in Toronto where the Blue Jays were trying to clean up something that I think that Alex Rodriguez did. They were throwing at him, but you know, like I said, over 24 years, I tell people in 24 years there was maybe 10 games, 12 games that where you have to, you know, you're protecting your teammates. This wasn't really that situation. This was still a boil over, if you will, from the World Series stuff. But I don't even think Joe was there. I like Joe Kelly as a pitcher. He's got electric stuff, and even in games where, you know, one of your hitters, I won't name the players, but I have very famous players that would get hit at a, you know, during a game that looked intentional, and they'd come sit by me next on the bench and basically almost want to talk to you like, hey, I got a problem with this guy. And so that's your teammate. You got to go out there, and there's ways to do it. Even if you're throwing a great game, we've had some pitchers that had no hitters during the game, and they just whistle one up high to the backstop just to let them know they were out there. So, I hope that was to the extent of it. I think the Astros play the Dodgers again, maybe out west. So you just keep an eye on it. I think if I saw it right, you guys can correct me. I think somebody said he got 8 games of suspension or something like that. So I'm sure he'll appeal that, and it might go down to 4. He didn't get thrown out of the game. He didn't hit anybody. And, it was just funky 3-0. You wouldn't expect it there. I think if you were going to go ahead and clean it up, you would do it on pitch one and get it over with and stay below the guy's shoulder when you do it. So that's the main thing you try and do.
Yeah.
Hopefully maybe that's the end of it.
Well, you know, 8 games, that's quite a deterrent for any other guys going forward, because I think the commissioner sent a message. You ain't throwing at the Astros. Rod, you've never booed before, but this Astros team right now is just hated. And they're taking the brunt of everything for cheating in baseball. And I put this on the commissioner for not, you know, being more transparent in how much all the cheating that was going on electronically throughout the league. I just feel like it's unfair. What do you, behind the scenes, you talk to the guys from the Astros. What's the feeling there that they're taking everything in this deal?
Yeah, they threw Jose out there in Bregman and during that press conference way back when, and it was, you know, like I said, technology, caught up with everybody. You have these massive video rooms that you can go in, and, you know, when I would go down, I could hang out for the first or second inning in the video room, and, you know, as a team have 7 or 8 cameras throughout the stadium to get video for your players, and if it's a national covered game, maybe, you know, they have 7 or 8 cameras. But you can, if the catcher or pitcher are not really good with their cadence, I had a really, it was an easy cadence of my pitch calling. And, you know, like I tell people, over 24 years, I had fantastic catchers. I needed those guys to pay attention to detail because I called about 95% of my game from the mound with just my looks of what I did on the mound. And we changed it up. You know, if one of your catchers were traded to another team and you're playing that team, you definitely had to change that up. But now the TVs are down by the dugout, so a hitter, after he makes an out or whatever he does, he can go right down there real quick and sit 2 minutes and watch his at-bat or do what he wants to do. What I call the propeller heads that are taking over and all these all this stuff that's going on, they took it one step too far, two steps too far. That's really all they said. They messed up, and I think the guys pretty much said that. But, you know, they just, look, hey, we got a live feed out there. We can get live whatever. And, you know, it's almost comical that how technical everything is. It came down to banging on a trash can. So, you know, the thing about that is if your hitter can hear it, your catcher can hear it. I know I could hear it depending on, the size of the crowd. Your first baseman should hear it. So those are the guys, like you said, the guys that that would be upset about it would be your fringe relievers that are getting knocked around, and then, you know, they get sent to AAA and they don't do well there, and then next thing you know, they're out of the game. Those are the guys that would be a little more pissed about the situation than anything. But, you got to definitely pay attention. You hear guys whistling out of the dugout a lot. The old school way is we get guys, when I tell these pitchers, just like I'm working with in Sugarland, to practice perfect, even in their bullpen. So I can't tell you how many times we had guys' pitches just come where they set with their glove. Some guys would set at their chin on a fastball, and to get their curveball, they would go a little bit higher and cover the logo on their hat. And so we got, you know, if they do that regularly, especially under a situation where your bad habits will come back and really pressure games like a playoff game or a World Series game, you'll go back to your bad habits if you're not practicing perfect and doing the things right. So you're not giving away your pitches. You could go to any high school, college game, especially, and by the second or third inning, I know what the guy's throwing on the mound, what pitches he's getting ready to throw. So there's all kinds of things going on. Your catcher sets up late now so he doesn't give away location, because if he's giving away location, as you guys know, if you see a catcher set up early and inside, you might hear a whistle or two out of the dugout. And most of the time when your catcher's setting up inside, it's a fastball. You're not going to throw too many breaking balls, front door breaking balls. So there's a lot going on out there on the field. You just have to be aware of it, and you have to be really, privy to what you're doing.
But once again, that's kind of stuff. I mean, we did that in high school. Third base coach would pick up signs from a catcher and, you know, rip it or slap it meant fastball, yeah, or curveball. I mean, that is part of baseball.
Yeah,
that's not...
They yell out your first name or last name, mm-hmm, or your number. So, and that's why we always would, you'd hear from time to time where if we saw a third base coach or a first base coach not in that coaching box, we'd be yelling at the umpire to tell the guy to get in the box. Because if you do, you have a, you know, like a tall catcher, you know, if you have a 6'2", 6'4" catcher, his sign calling, his legs are a little wider, so you can really get a peek in there of what he's putting down. And so, yeah, those are all important things also.
Roger Clemens with us here on ESPN 97.5. Constellation Field is where you can find him these days, managing with his son, along with Dave Island and Pete Incaviglia, and Greg Swindell out there getting these kids out there, and they're really good players. You can go to SugarlandSkeeters.com, and pick up tickets. They start at just $9.
We're talking about going to baseball games.
Yeah.
We're not talking about cutouts, virtual cutouts.
No, you can actually go.
You can actually go to a game. You can actually have a beer at a game.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun seeing the fans out there enjoying it.
It's a great park, too.
Great park.
Yeah. Well, Roger, we appreciate it, man. Your best bet, what'd you get, 59.5% last year? You in January, are you going to be, you think you'll get that 75%?
What is that now?
For the Hall of Fame?
Oh, well, man, who knows? Who knows? You have zero control of that. I appreciate the guys that are voting and looking at facts and stuff and doing all that. So it's great. It's not going to change me as a person or you know, how I approach the game. So, I loved it, did it the right way and all that good stuff. So, yeah.
Project, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us here. We appreciate it, and have fun out there at Constellation Field.
Yeah, y'all stay safe.
All right, SugarlandSkeeters.com. That's SugarlandSkeeters.com. So let's take a break, and we will get, if anybody wants to get in, you're more than welcome, 713-780-3776.
Good stuff by Raj.
Yeah, really good stuff.
Because there is baseball. You know, there's protocol to what you're doing, too. We'll talk about that when we come back, because Joe Kelly broke protocol for the get back. You want to get back at the Astros, you broke the protocol on how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah. So there are so many stories out there, people that have to sell their homes and they have to sell them in a hurry. Or Lance Loken says, listen, I'll buy it now instead of you putting it on the market and having to do all the stuff and, you know, all the stuff that you have to do to get your house ready and everything else. Let me buy it now. So if you're in a situation where I need to buy it now, Lance Loken will do that. And here's the deal. This is the best. This is not even arguable how this guy is the best. You will love him. He's going to be your friend when this is all said and done, because you're going to love what he does for you. The number one team in the entire state of Texas. the Lance Loken Group with Keller Williams. They are number one in Texas and number two in the world, volume and homes sold. He gives you choices too. Accelerated demand to get the most money or get that immediate cash offer. If he can't sell your home, you can just say sorry. You can walk away from him, and that's fine. That never happens, though. That just doesn't happen. The average days on the market for a house is 56 days. The average days on the market for the Loken Group is just 30 days. You want to sell your house. You want to do it in a hurry. You want to get the most money for it. It's basically an auction, too, because he's got more access. He's got access to more people. And this is the best time right now. There are more buyers out there than are our sellers. So if you're thinking about selling your home, this is the best time. And oh, by the way, if you're a real estate agent, this is a great time to join this group. You want to be part of the biggest and the best. TheLokenGroup.com. That's TheLokenGroup.com. 281-861-4624. Tell them you heard it right here.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Good to have Raj on talking some baseball. Interesting. You know, if the commissioner didn't shut that down the other night, it would have been there would have definitely been fights, because I had it on good authority that there was going to be retaliation. You know, Dusty's old school, and he, you know, hey, we don't start it, but, we ain't going to take it either. So there was going to be, it would have been, and then every park they go to, there would have been, okay, Astros, guess what? You're catching it.
Yeah, but what if, let me just throw a different hypothetical. What if all of America who was waiting for something like this to happen and they had in their folder, they left it open. Blank is the hero we needed, and they had all their little sweet tweets ready that they were getting ready to send.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got hit, and then the Astros retaliated, and then there was a fight, and the Astros literally beat the piss out of the other team with like nine guys dropping to the ground with complete knockout punches.
That would be awesome.
And then what would Twitter have said?
I would have said.
What would the Twitter who's looking for their heroes have said?
Twitter that's looking for their heroes would have said, and the Astros are doing steroids, too.
Astros are thugs.
Right. And they're doing steroids now, too.
Yeah.
Right. Because there's no way they could possibly... Listen. I'm happy, though, because we're actually watching baseball as opposed to just fighting and just all-out beanball wars. Joe Kelly was stupid the way he went about it. Stupid.
But you know what's funny? I talked to a former major leaguer in 2017, not on the air, and we were just having a conversation. I don't talk to this guy a whole lot. I haven't seen him a whole lot, but it was just a general conversation about baseball, and I just happened to be in an opportunity to get with this guy. And we were talking about the Astros. Man, I've got all these great feelings about the Astros, right? It's 2017, the magical year. And he made a comment about steroids. And I'm like, what? Astro steroids? No, they don't look like a bunch of Hulks. And he just kind of just matter-of-factly said, come on. And I said, you really think the Astros are steroids? 17? This was his comment. It's something. Look at Marwin Gonzalez. All he said was, look at Marwin Gonzalez. This is not normal. This is not a normal season. And then he pointed out a couple other players, and he said, these aren't normal seasons. He said, especially when you have a veteran that's been around, this isn't what it looks like. And at the time, I just didn't want to, I was just like, nah, I'm not even going to entertain this. But it got me to thinking, baseball people, they can see stuff, and they know when something doesn't look right. And Marwin clearly benefited.
Something didn't look right about the 17
something
Astros.
Something didn't look right.
But the 18 Astros, the 19 Astros, they still hit.
But they can hit. They've got a team full of hitters.
Yeah.
That is what it is. Pre-17, post-17. But the Marwin thing was the one that he was stuck on. How is Marwin doing this? This doesn't make any sense for Marwin to be posting these
numbers. Apparently, they don't have trash cans in Minnesota. So.
All I could think of was, hey, I mean... He's got protection before him in the lineup, after him in the lineup. He's a great batting coach, probably. He's got Brent Strom. I know he's a pitching coach, but Strom does everything. Strom is magic. Strom knows spin rate, so he's probably telling telling Marwin about something about spin rate that probably helps him because that's how Strom is. AJ Hinch, like, come on, this can't be happening. There can't be any cheating with the Astros.
No, there was cheating with the Astros.
The Astros, luckily.
When we come back, an icon. Oh, that's right. I forgot you've combined. So we don't have to. We got another 15 minutes here. What was your favorite Harvey Updike moment?
Well, we have to. Okay, so Del, do we have the sound on Harvey where we can play it? I'm not going to say who, because right now people are listening and saying, I have no idea who that is. Or they're saying, that sounds familiar.
He didn't get traded or cut by a team. He died.
Right. You're going to say, that sounds familiar.
Yeah. He died at the age of 71. Here is, you can hear, and maybe you'll recognize
who this is.
Harvey Updike is.
Al is in Dadeville, Alabama. Hey, Al.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Well, thanks.
When Bear Bryant died, I was living in Texas, and I really didn't understand the Alabama-Auburn rivalry. But a good friend of mine that lived in Birmingham sent me a copy of the newspaper showing the Auburn students rolling Toomer's Corner celebrating Bryant's death.
Now stop. I even though I know what you just got through saying, and even though I know you're quoting from a newspaper, I just have the most difficult time ever believing that Auburn students rolled Toomer's Corner when the news broke that Coach Bryant died. Does anyone else remember that? I don't.
Do you want me to send you a copy of the I still have a newspaper clipping.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of awkward here because I'm not doubting your truthfulness. I'm just... Are you guys in the other room in as much shock as I am? That is just one of the most shocking things I've ever heard. I do not want to believe that is true.
Okay, let me finish my story.
Okay.
This year I was at the Iron Bowl.
There's no way that could be true.
Well, okay. This year I was at the Iron Bowl.
Okay.
And I saw where they put a Scam Newton jersey on Bear Bryant's statue.
Okay, and again, that's 28 years later.
Okay. Well, let me tell you what I did. The weekend after the Iron Bowl, I went to Auburn, Alabama, because I live 30 miles away, sure. And I poisoned the two Toomer's trees.
Okay, well, that's fair.
I put Spike 80 DLF in them.
Did they die?
Do what?
Did they die?
They're not dead yet, but they definitely will die.
Is that against the law to poison a tree?
Well, do you think I care?
No.
Okay, I really don't.
Okay.
Roll damn tide.
Harvey Updike is the guy that got so mad about a Cam Newton jersey being on Bear Bryant that he went and poisoned trees that for those of you who don't care, you're going to be like, well, I mean, that's not great, but who cares their trees? No, those are like, in the SEC, that's one of the big traditions.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the huge traditions. And he went and poisoned the trees and they died. I believe both of them died. He pleaded guilty. He just admitted it on Paul Feinbaum's show. He used the name Al, but they tracked him down. He admitted what he did on radio, and he was charged. He pleaded guilty in 2013 of applying herbicide to the trees, which Tiger fans traditionally decorate with toilet paper after a win. He was convicted of felony criminal damage of an agricultural facility, served 70 days in jail, and was ordered to pay $800,000 in restitution. Though as of last October, he had paid only $6,900 according. Still a lot of money to have to pay for. If he hadn't killed the trees, he would have had to pay $0. And last year, Updike submitted a letter to the court from his doctor saying that he suffered from conditions including severe coronary disease, congestive heart failure, diabetes, strokes, depression, and therefore wasn't well enough to appear in court. Harvey Updike died at the age of 71, but that's who, which is still, you know, relatively young, but to pass away. But he's the guy that when you think of SEC guy and that character, it's over the top stuff. It's not over the top. This is what happens on Paul Feinbaum's show all the time. SEC fans are complete lunatics. They are not all of y'all, but some of y'all are, and you know lunatics. And Aggies.
Not Aggies, or really Missouri so much.
I can spike in my booty.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm... Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
And don't blame him for saying, finger in my booty. Blame the LSU fan who stuck a finger in his booty. Your people, John. Your people are lunatics.
Oh, I know that LSU
what
fans...
What have you seen at LSU, LSU that you thought was crazy?
LSU fans like to stick fingers in booties. I know this. Okay.
How do you know this?
I know this. It's what LSU fans do.
How do you know? Opposing fans are just something they like to do in bed. What are you talking about?
I have no idea. I don't know where, but I know I've talked to some LSU fans. They said it could have been me. Yeah.
Tell me what the craziest things you've seen at LSU games. You told me one time you saw people who brought golf balls because they wanted to throw it at Lee Corso or somebody because he picked.
Oh, no, no, no. They had to put up the net there. That's where the net started behind the set. They had to put the net up because they were throwing all kinds of stuff at the game day people.
Because they predicted somebody else would win.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, you
so it's time to for head traumas.
Yeah. Well, I've seen whiskey bottles from family members thrown at the team. I'm not gonna go in.
Whiskey bottles from family members
thrown at the team because they were shut out in the first half at LSU.
Thrown at their own team.
Yeah, that I've witnessed. I was like,
was it
empty? Are you doing?
Was the whiskey bottle empty?
They're terrible.
Was it with?
That's your team.
Was the whiskey bottle empty?
Yeah.
That
you don't think they would throw it full.
No. So whiskey bottle is already empty by half.
Yeah,
time.
A pint.
Kind of tells you why it might be launched.
It was a pint. It wasn't like a whole bottle. It was a pint.
Enough to get you drunk.
Oh, after all day being there.
Yeah.
No, the whiskey bottle was just the dessert.
Threw a bottle at their own team based on halftime. You know what Bill O'Brien would have done? Throwing it right back at him.
Oh, yeah.
If you tell him he sucks, you get cussed at. Can you imagine what you'd do at a game if somebody threw an empty whiskey bottle at him?
Oh, my gosh.
Fling it right
back
at
him. Well, he'd come
crowd.
Right back at you. Yeah, he'd throw it right back at you. There's no question about that. No, it is ridiculous. Ridiculous SEC fan. It's stupid how passionate they are about
it. And now.
It's not passionate. It's stupid.
And now they won't inflict their insanity on anyone else at a conference because they're just playing each other this
year. That's all. Bruce Feldman thinks that all conferences might go. Now, Big 12 can't because they only have 10 teams. But if they expand, that all conferences go to a 10-game schedule and just play two out of conference.
Oh, you mean going forward?
Going forward.
I've seen places where people are pushing for BYU to be a temporary member of the Big 12 this year, like Notre Dame is.
Oh, that'd be...
Because BYU is one of the teams who pretty much has no schedule as an independent.
Yeah, because, you know, BYU, with their stance on gay rights and all of that, I'm pretty sure that fits right in with the Big 12. That's the problem for BYU. Is getting into a conference. I think BYU probably could be, would have been considered for the Pac-12, but their anti-gay stance in their mission statement is probably problematic for a lot of conferences, I would imagine. So I'm not so sure. I've heard, we don't want to be BYU, dude. And plus, you're playing 30-year-old men. That's the problem. It's like Kansas State, only the Mormon thing going on. Kansas State.
Cut that, Del. It's like Kansas State, but only the Mormon thing going on. That's the most random funny thing.
Well, Kansas State forever
was. What do you
mean
like Kansas State?
Well, Kansas State forever only had JUCO. I mean, Bill Snyder.
Oh, the JUCO guys? Yeah, but they're not older.
No, they're not. JUCO. But they were always. It was always juniors and seniors who were playing. When you ask Dana, he said, when you go to Kansas State with a young team, you guess what? You were going to get it handed to you.
Who was the quarterback that was so good? Michael.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Bishop.
Michael Bishop.
They had Roberson.
Yeah, but the Aggies took care of that business.
They had L. Roberson after him. It was pretty good, too. Not as good as Michael Bishop.
Yeah, he was from Texas. He was from Houston, I think. But, yeah, Michael Bishop could ball. But, yeah, Kansas State, it used to be Schneider just had a ton. It's not now, not in his second go-round, but he used to have a ton of...
Remember Sir, what's his name, took care of...
Michael Sir Parker.
Sir Parker took care of Michael Bishop.
What do you mean he took
the
care of...
The Aggies beat him in the championship game.
He didn't take care of Michael
Bishop. Sir Parker played a big role in it.
Yeah, the running back. It was... Yeah, that was... They were a JUCO, but it's so hard to sustain yourself like that because if you're not building up your, first of all, you get a bunch of JUCO guys together, it can be a little bit of a problem. Speaking of, I just started the new season of Last Chance U.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I didn't even know it was out.
Oh yeah, I saw it yesterday.
Yeah, they're in Oakland.
They are.
Episode one, I'm only 10 minutes in, but they're in Oakland, and these guys don't get scholarships. So you've gone from rural to Oakland. That's a big jump. These guys don't get scholarships either. And I think they're trying to highlight, they've got a coach now, I'm half an episode in, but they got a coach who's highly respected. Like, they went anti-Jason Brown here. A guy who's been in it for 40 years, who the players really like, who's highly respected.
It's not going to be as much fun.
They're trying to highlight guys because, you know, let's face it, there are some guys who aren't super smart, who were being highlighted on Last Chance U at Independence and in East Mississippi. These guys, they're kind of focusing, at least once again, early on guys who maybe are a little more with it, a little sharper, guys that kind of maybe are more representative of something positive as opposed to what you kind of got the feel for, which frankly is, my brother played Mississippi Junior College football. He's like, it ain't far off. He goes, you're either there for one reason. You are kind of a bad dude who can really play football, or you're me. You're not good enough to play big-time Division I football. You get one or the other there. And like my brother went up against Gary Walker. He said that wasn't super fun.
No.
When he was at Perk Junior.
I would imagine
that. My brother did play at Nicholls State. I mean, he played good football, but when he got out of Perk, but he's like, man, you saw some dudes that could go in junior college. He goes, and you saw plenty of guns.
Yeah.
Just strapped up. And that wasn't like last year. That was back in the day. He's like, you just had straps in the facility. You just knew what it was. You just knew, I'm not going to be around this Blu-ray game right now. This isn't the Blu-ray game I want to be around.
That is, I don't want to be a Blu-ray game when people are strapped. You ever get into a violent Blu-ray game? Yeah. I don't need no guns at it.
Well, you've got family from Louisiana.
Yeah. Oh, right.
I mean, of course you've been in violent Blu-ray games.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, people yelling and, oh, yeah. You don't want to be strapped at a Blu-ray game, not in Louisiana or Mississippi, apparently. I didn't know that.
Blu-ray going on. Right there over at Ray's Cracklins. Get yourself some Cracklins and prepare for your Blu-ray games. Thanks for listening to The Swamp 97.5 here on The Swamp. Don't forget those Cracklins. They got new lower-fat Cracklins, too. A little bit better for your heart. Not great. And I wouldn't eat them during the pandemic.
I don't want none of that. I ain't eating none of that crap.
Don't eat the Cracklins during the pandemic. It will give you underlying medical conditions.
97.5 The Swamp.
97.5 The Swamp here. We're going to talk more LSU football.
Did you guys happen to see who? Okay. If I show you this, who is that? Okay.
It's Brooks Koepka.
Brooks Koepka.
He's showing me a picture of Brooks Koepka's ass in a thong.
In a thong.
Why do you have that on your
Because
he would have for sure put a.
Because no laying up. I follow them. You guys follow No Laying Up?
I'm not.
Is that
it's a golf. Oh, yeah, it's a golf thing.
The answer is no.
So I don't know why they put up that picture.
I can tell I like the one on the left better.
Yeah, the one on the left is much better. Anyway, did you see his 62 yesterday? And he's talking about he needs knee surgery. Brooks Koepka. All right.
What,
Brooks? Did you Koepka? Take him this week in your fantasy league?
I don't play fantasy golf.
You didn't take him?
You're right, because I don't play fantasy
golf. I took him. Thank you. Good night.
God, what a sad meeting that has to be.
Mm-mm. What do you mean sad meeting?
You guys get together and pick your golfers.
Yeah,
it's gotta be.
No,
you don't tell people you do that, do you? That's like a secret you keep, a fetish you and your friends have.
We have beers and we pick our teams.
Yeah, you get into a room and pick your
not teams. Into a room, into a bar,
whatever, but it's still a room. But you don't tell people outside of your club that you do that, right?
Hang on, I wasn't paying attention. Did you say he's got in a fetish group that goes into a dark room and looks at Brooks Koepka thong pictures?
Feels like it.
No, that's the stupidest thing
and
ever.
You pick which picture you like the best, or what is
no?
What is,
we what pick, do they pick seven golfers.
They pick a couple guys they love.
Name the amount of professional or amateur golfers who have taken pictures and thongs and posted them.
One.
I go first. Brooks Koepka. All right, your turn.
I'm going to go Brooks Koepka too. That's it.
Yeah.
All right. Yesterday, Bryson DeChambeau, he hit a ball into the by a tree, and it was on some twigs, and he tried to get the rules official because there were some ants over there, and he tried to get him to be able to move his ball.
What are we talking about here?
Okay? Because of ants?
Because there were if you're standing in an ant pile, then you get to move your ball.
I'm hugely anti-ant.
And he said, look, there's red ants. And the guy goes, that's one red ant. Okay, there's no ants.
Oh, okay. What happens if you strike the ball? And because, let me see, last time I checked in slow motion, when you strike a ball, especially out of the rough where there's pine needles and all that stuff, it shoots straight up. What if he shoots a red ant into his own face or eye?
Then,
then
you go like this.
No, but what if it's stinging your cornea?
They don't sting. I believe they bite. I believe they bite you. They don't.
And
sting.
Oh, by the way, there was no red ants on his ball.
Do ants sting? No, ants sting.
They
don't
bite.
They?
No, they bite.
Are we sure?
You're gonna ant bite. Yeah.
Say ant bite.
They don't sting. Don't have stingers.
Do we? I don't know. Do we have ant stingers?
Stingers. Sure? Bees have stingers.
Have you watched those?
Have you ever seen
those
a,
when they zoom
insect?
In on ants when they attack bugs?
Yeah, you're right.
They bite.
I'm hugely anti ant. If Bryson DeChambeau wanted to avoid ants, I do not blame him. I do not blame
him. There was no ants.
My favorite thing is to take boiling hot water. Like, somebody told me this trick, and it's actually true. If you got one of those big-ass, you know how ant beds, you know how you have nothing in your yard, and all of a sudden, it's an ant bed that looks like a sandcastle, comes out of nowhere? Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
If you boil water, like, get it boiling hot, and then pour boiling hot water on it, ant torture. And you'll see all these white ant eggs.
How about just,
what's the matter with you? It's the best.
That's
the
worst. What are you? Ants?
Yeah.
Scott McGrath?
Yeah, that's not your job.
That's not
your
job. Even Scott McGrath
does it more. Ants can EAD.
Even
ants are the
Scott
worst.
Does it more humane
what
than
do the
he
ants
does.
Do? Don't do that, Lance. You're hurting the ecosystem. Ants were some, they are decomposers.
They're going to lose.
I don't care.
You know what? What if ants become extinct because you're boiling them all?
Yeah, even if you I mean, I don't care.
Sounds like the world just got better.
No.
I don't care one way or the other about ants, but why are you going out of your way to boil them?
Which would you rather lose? Okay.
Because it kills them better than the stuff I have.
What would be a better world? No social media or no ants?
No social media.
Let's throw a no Lance thing option in
okay,
there.
Okay, or no Lance.
That's not fair.
What if ants got together, picked up a boiling pot of water, and poured it on you?
They have, basically. I've gotten stung so badly when I was in fifth grade.
You didn't get stung. You got bit.
My crazy friend, when we were out at Wildcat, he came in from Wisconsin, Chris, the nut job. There was an ant pile, and he
his crazy friend
rolled around
that
in
one,
it.
That one crazy friend.
We videotaped him. He said it was one of the worst decisions he ever made. He wanted to go. He said, watch this. I'm going to go in this ant pile. He said it
He said, video this?
And we got video it. And we got a video of it. He said it was probably the worst decisions. It's almost like you in the ladder. The worst decision he ever made. Was to roll around in a red ant pile.
Almost, except his goes away. Mine's probably for life.
Yeah, no, yours is for life.
That's the dumbest, and red ants really
hurt. Was he drunk?
Yes, he was drunk.
The guy is drunk.
He was wasted.
And no one said, hey, maybe you shouldn't do this?
No, we all laughed. We were all like, and he was on fire. He was literally on fire. Time to talk about the Skeeters again. Hey, how about Roger Clemens was just here? When's that going to be up on podcast?
Interns working on it right now.
Okay.
How about what he said that they've got pitchers who can touch 98?
98. A couple, he said, on hit two or three on his team.
But that's not a surprise. That's why I got excited when I saw, wait a minute, there are rosters, four teams where the rosters are populated by A and double A. That's where the Stallions are, man. That's where the guys with the big arms are who are just a little unbridled.
They turned away four more teams they could have had. That's how many good players that were out there. So these are cream of the crop guys, and they're real players. He said already five have been plucked by major league teams. How about that? We knew about Fernando Rodney, but you're watching really good talent, and you can actually watch it. You can actually go to the park, and you can actually have a beer and a hot dog, and they've got great deals. They've got dollar hot dog days and $2 beer nights and all this stuff going on. And this weekend, of course, tonight, fireworks. This weekend, all kinds of giveaways. SugarlandSkeeters.com. First 2,000 people in. They sanitize. They social distance. SugarlandSkeeters.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Pro Football Focus just put out best red zone offenses in 2019. Who do you think was the best?
Obviously Texans.
Nope.
Oh.
But
were they bad?
But actually, they weren't bad. They were
best red zone offenses. I'm going to go with the 49ers?
No, not even top 10.
Actually, you know what? The outside zone teams like that are usually not the best. It's got to be a team that... See, I don't think it's Kansas City.
Nope. They're not. Hold on. They're not top 10 either.
Let me think. Hold on. Let me just work through it real quick. Don't tell me yet. It's nobody in the AFC North. Nobody. Oh, no, it can't be AFC South. West. What about Saints?
They're not top 10 either. It's the Ravens.
Oh, God. I always forget the Ravens for some reason.
Yeah.
Of then, really? You mean with Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, right.
That team?
That team. Oh. That, Ravens, Eagles, Cowboys, Titans, Texans.
Ravens. So let's take a look at that. So here was the big, argument against Gary Kubiak. Is his running game, the offensive line was too finesse to get it done when it was in short yardage. And I think there was some, it wasn't that it was finesse, they're just a little smaller offensive lineman. It's less power and it's more movement. Now, the big difference maker and why I cut so hard for Arian Foster is that all those issues that they had under Gary Kubiak all went away when Arian Foster got there, because Arian's vision and his toughness through contact single-handedly made him a great touchdown scorer. Like, Arian kind of changed that narrative a little bit because he was that good a runner near the goal line. He was a great red zone back. But when you look at all these guys, so you have a multifaceted, you got a team with physical inside runners and an electric running quarterback with the Ravens. Who's the next team?
Eagles.
I can't explain that one.
Nope.
I can't really explain the Eagles.
They didn't get down there all that often, though, because they didn't score. Cowboys were third.
Cowboys, you got Zeke.
Yeah.
You got Zeke.
Titans, Henry.
Titans, you got a hammer.
Yep.
You got to have a red zone hammer or a quarterback. Well, now, actually, Carlos Hyde was a hammer, too. Yeah. But then you had a quarterback who also was dangerous. Well,
and you had Bells who scored touchdowns. And
But you had a quarterback who was dangerous with...
Yeah.
With run-pass option, too. So you have two teams with run-pass option quarterbacks when needed, and three teams with physical hammers inside the red zone.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And then the Seahawks, the Rams, the Packers, the Bucks, and the Colts. You know, it's not indicative of who the best teams are, if you want to know the truth. The Eagles weren't very good. Of course, you got to get down in the red zone, right? The Ravens had the best red zone offense, but they had the best offense outside the red zone as well. So that makes a lot of sense. The Titans were a good football team. They went to the AFC Championship. The Texans went to the playoffs. The Seahawks went to the playoffs. The Packers got to the NFC Championship. The Buccaneers just turned it over too much. The Colts didn't make the playoffs, right? No. So, you know, you have that. It's not an indicator of who the best teams are. And then, oh, by the way, the Ravens were the best red zone team. Boy, did they suck against the Titans in the red zone in the playoffs. They were terrible that day. The Titans they just couldn't score. How many times were the Ravens down in the red zone in that game and turned it over or just couldn't do anything in the red zone?
Yeah.
So that was not an indicator of who was going to win. Best red zone defenses in 2019.
Red zone defenses are going to be, I think, teams that swarm, teams that are fast. I would say the
So fast teams. You got it. You hit it.
It's going to be the faster defensive units because they can get more men to tighter. They can get more men to the perimeter, so they limit where you can go. I would say. That doesn't sound like Texans.
No, they're not on this list.
I would say, are the Titans on there?
The Titans are not on this list.
Bills?
Nope. It's the Broncos, the Vikings, the Chiefs, the Steelers. They got all of those teams have outside edge.
Speed. Chiefs surprised me a little bit.
Steelers, Packers, Patriots, Bucks, Ravens, Bears, Colts.
Bucks? Oh, this is no longer viable.
Why the Bucs actually defensively they were pretty damn good.
Bucs pretty good defensively last year?
Yeah. Yeah. No, the Bucs were okay defensively. They got a lot of talent. The Bucs are that's why the Bucs are kind of scary this year. If they don't have 30 flipping interceptions and all the fumbles, the Bucs could have been a pretty good football team last year.
I don't remember the Bucks being that great defensively, but maybe you're right. Checking it right now.
Well, but it's hard to be great defensively when you're on the field as much as Jameis put him on the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, with the turnovers.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay. So, I mean, Tampa was the worst in the league in yards, total yards given up. No, I'm sorry. That's passing offense. That's not true. Where's team defense?
Here's team defense. Tampa was middle of the pack as far as yards allowed.
Mm-hmm. But they bucked up when it was needed, I guess.
Yeah.
That's the whole key. You can bend but don't break.
Well, but Jameis put them in such bad spots. No, they gave up points. They gave up points. But they were in awful situations.
Well, how many pick sixes did Jameis
have? Yeah, that's true, too.
Or you throw it inside your own 30-yard line. That's points.
That's points.
It's automatic points.
That's automatic points. He put them in. That is going to make that's going to be a game changer for Tampa.
Yeah, that's why my biggest problem when I look at quarterbacks, like Marcus Mariota wasn't a big turnover guy, but he didn't take enough chances to ever be a great quarterback. And there are certain quarterbacks who are like that. Like, you got to balance the chance taking with what makes Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson so great to me is that they make throws where they take some chances and they make explosive plays, but their interception total is unbelievably low.
Yeah.
And they just are smart about when to take the chances, and then they have the arm talent to get away with certain throws that other guys can't get away with.
That's the Alex Smith. Alex Smith was the ultimate, but Alex Smith won. Alex Smith won football games now.
Well, he won with Kansas City. He had 1 year he was okay, but Alex Smith is another. He's a
serious. Yeah, but he had a different coordinator every year.
Yeah, but how much impact did he? He was a game manager who needed things to be right also. Alex Smith was not a chance taker down the field.
No. That's what I'm saying. He would not take any chances, and yet he won.
How much do you think he won? I don't remember Alex Smith winning that much.
Really?
I mean, with Andy Reid.
No.
Name the quarterbacks who didn't win with Andy Reid.
Alex Smith in San Francisco ended up winning games.
He had when Kaepernick, he came in and ended up having a game. But I don't remember him. I remember him being not so great, to be honest with you, after he was drafted by them. His quarterback win percentage is
94, 66, and 1. And that's after he started his career 2-5, 7-9, 2-5, 3-5, 7-0.
With San Francisco, 3-7. He was 38 and 36.
Yeah, but again, he had different coordinators every year. He started to win, though, 13-3, 6-2, 11-4, 8-7, 11-5, 11-4.
Well, you're into Kansas City.
Right.
Yeah.
9-6. Well, he finished 13-3. And started all 16 games in San Francisco in 11.
In San Francisco, he had two winning seasons.
Yeah.
And he had four losing seasons and one that was a 5-5 as a quarterback.
Right. And 1-7-9.
Dude,
again, he was 2-5 and 2-5 and 3-7.
He had two 16
in his first 5 years.
16 game seasons. That's it. In San Francisco. But I do think he became the quarterback. Look at his completion percentage. In San Francisco, and then look at it under Andy Reid. You want to know a difference that a coach can make?
Oh.
Go look
at... Well, and again, he had every year in San Francisco, they changed coordinators.
Well, but the other thing was, they thought he was better than he was. Like, certain guys, you can't ask him to sit in the pocket and win games. Andy Reid said, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to run the football, and we're not going to ask you to make certain throws because you can't. We're going to ask you to make throws that you can make. And that's being a good offensive mind is ask a guy to do what he can do.
That's right.
Don't ask him to do what they can't
do. And what they excel at. Will he play in Washington this year?
No.
I'm not so sure.
I don't think so.
Dell?
I don't know that he makes a team.
Ooh.
He still has a little he still has a little hitch.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think
Rivera said he's gonna compete. I don't know.
He says that, but I mean, what is the benefit of Ron Rivera playing Alex Smith?
Because Haskins not ready.
That's fine, but then you go draft. If you're as bad as we think they might be, then you go draft your next
quarterback.
The only
way you get him ready is let him have reps. To me,
and he had reps last year. He's a new coach there, so he's got some leeway. You know, he doesn't have to win right away.
But my whole thing is, yeah, exactly. Like this, you already let him play last year. To pull him back this year would be extremely detrimental. He can either play or he can't play. I'd rather know right away if he could play. If I'm Ron Rivera,
suppose he can't
play. I don't want him on my
ticket. You're 5-6. You got a Trubisky situation. You go, well, F this. Let's go with Alex Smith and win some football games. Because you're going to lose that locker room.
Well, I think Ron Rivera, I don't think you'll lose the locker room if you're backing a quarterback.
Well, yeah, if that quarterback, and you got an Alex Smith guy who has won before.
But if you bail on a young quarterback, I think you lose locker rooms.
You mean like the Bears?
No. Mitch Trubisky had been around. They weren't bailing on him in year two.
No. But, well, plenty of teams have bailed. I mean, Josh Rosen got traded. He was a first rounder and got traded.
Trubisky was, Haskins was a starter last year. Let that kid have a shot. Let him play and see what he can do. If I'm Ron Rivera, I want to see him play all 16. I want to know if he, or all 12, or however many they get in. I want to see if he's a player or not. Because the faster I know he's not a player and can convince management, okay, we need to start looking at quarterback. Y'all missed with this one. Or, okay, this guy can play. I know I can work with this guy. I feel confident in him. Let's start building around him. That's the first thing I want to know, because you either get fired or extension.
No, like I said, though, it's 6-7 games in, 8 games in.
Who's
their
backup right now? Alex Smith isn't their backup because he hasn't been healthy. So who's their backup?
No, they got another guy.
Is Colt?
Is Colt still there?
Is Colt still there?
I don't think Colt's still there. He might be.
No, he might be.
Oh, no. Is it a... Where's Case Keenum?
Ooh. That might be Case.
You don't want a little... taste of the Case magic, because Case has got some of that.
Kyle
magic.
Allen, he brought
Kyle
him
Allen. Oh, that's right.
He brought him over from.
Never mind.
Well, he played him in Carolina. Why wouldn't he play him here?
That's true. Mm. 901 ESPN 97.
With its abundant natural beauty, charming towns, and friendly people, South Carolina offers the kind of discoveries that stay with you long after you've left. Like the realization you're good at something you never before tried, or your first oyster roast and a taste you didn't expect to love. And other times, it just hits, like the view on a windswept Appalachian mountaintop. So come find the undiscovered you in South Carolina. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.